Will you open your Bibles this evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? In this chapter, the Apostle Paul lays forth the kind of walk that we should have in this world, and ends the chapter with a great hope that is ours, that when we die, we go home to be with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have nothing, lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Our text are the verses 3 through 8. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man may go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. May God bless the reading of his word. Verse 8 will constitute also part of that text, because it's all one of the other reasons that is finally given to the call that we have. If you'll notice, verse 3 begins much like the last passage that we had last week, when we were dealing with in the book of James. There we read, of His own will He begat us by the word of truth to that new life that's ours in Christ Jesus. A life of sanctification. Of His own will He begat us to that new life. And now Paul likewise starts with those same words, of His own will. This is the will of God. What? Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The last couple of weeks, the news has abounded on the sex scandals once again of those in positions of high power. We almost become numb to it. The world is abounding in those kind of scandals. Sex outside of marriage. All kinds of different affairs going on. That's the culture we live in. But not only because that's in the news again, that's the world we live in. Do I preach on this? But this is following what we just studied in James. This is the will of God. Of His own will, He begat us to a new life. We live in the midst of that sinful culture. And the sins that are abounding in that sinful culture should not be found in the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet we know that the church is not exempt from problems. We know that the early churches were not exempt from it. The Apostle Paul has to come and rebuke the Corinthian church for their laxity when it came to dealing with sexual sins going on in the midst of that congregation. But not only in light of the news of what's going on around us, bombarding us all the time, but also I preach a sermon in response to a written request that I have received in the past week. Pastor, please preach on this matter of respect and honor in marriage and in our sexuality. In James 1 verse 18, we read that of His own will He begat us with the word of truth. In other words, we need now to hear that word of truth. What does it say to us about this matter? Sexual morality. That is the one item that Paul is pointing out here in our text. He's dealing with one matter. Sanctification in the matter of our sexuality. So, sexual morality, notice with me, the sin that is warned against. Notice carefully the admonition that is given to God's people. And notice the reasons for this warning. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The apostle is dealing with one matter here, sanctification, living a godly life. Sanctification is that work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the justified sinner. Sanctification is the fruit that flows from our justification. Notice it is not the case if we live holy, then God will justify us, but because God has justified us, set us free from sin, therefore we are to live a holy life. What a great deliverance. Our deliverance is not merely that God forgives our sins, but He delivers us from the power, from the dominion of sin in us. Oh yes, sin is a spiritual power. It's a vile power. It is in our members. It's not only out there in the world. It's not only the devil who is evil. Oh, that sinful flesh. God delivers us from the dominion of sin. Satan and sin are not our masters any longer. We've been set free. The chains have been taken off from our arms and our legs so that we may live unto God. And the apostle says, I want you to know how you ought to walk to please God so that you may abound more and more. Verse 2. We are to grow in our sanctification. We are to grow in our love and our thankfulness and then our obedient life that flows out of it. God renews us so that you and I, as His children, more and more and more reflect the image of Christ Jesus, enabling us to walk in all good walks. Oh, how we need to be challenged. The Apostle Paul comes to these new converts and he says, don't settle. Don't say, it's okay, I'm good enough. He wants them to abound. He wants them to grow. He wants them to become more and more holy as our God's holy. Why? So that we may walk more closely together. That's what the covenant is all about, isn't it, friends? And in Amos we read, can two walk together unless they be agreed? What concord hath Christ with Belial? How can we claim, how can we hope for close covenant fellowship with our God if we are willingly walking in sin? Don't expect that God is going to be close to you, that you're going to feel His presence of favor when you are willingly walking in sin. We need to grow in holiness, for God is holy. Walking together in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And that means that we are called to walk according to the will of God, not our sinful flesh. Not what the world says is okay today, but only God's revelation by the Scriptures. This is how you are to walk. I stress that a moment because it's becoming a sad day for many of my relatives who still live on the other side of the ocean in the Netherlands. Many of my parents, brothers and sisters, would lament. Their children were living together without marriage. And the old folks were saying, what can we do? Everybody's doing it. In other words, they almost threw in their hands and they say, we can't expect anything different. Shame on them. God has called us out. He has separated us out to be a holy people. So we may never throw up our hands and say, well, everyone else in the world is doing it, divorce, remarriage. Everyone else is doing it, men and women living together or having friends with benefits, whatever you want to call it. The Bible calls it one thing, sin. And we have to walk not what the world says is okay, not what our president says is okay and is promoting. We have to walk how our God tells us to walk. This is the will of God, even your fornication, that ye should abstain from fornication. Perhaps it surprises you that the Apostle Paul takes this one element of a whole life of sanctification. There's so many different areas he could touch on, but he touches on this one, fornication, and that he takes that to the church. There shouldn't be fornication there, should there? Why is this in the forefront? Or ask yourself in the different times when the apostle lists various sins to the congregations. In Bible study this past week, we were looking there at the lust of the flesh that are listed by Paul, and it starts, first of all, with that of our sinful flesh, sexual immorality. Why? Why is that so often highlighted? Why is that warning got to come to us? Notice, while we do not read that this was a specific sin that was going on in the church of Thessalonica, if there was a specific sin that was glaring there, don't worry, the Apostle Paul would have called them out. He surely did in the Corinthian church. But while there might not be a specific instance in the church, yet there has to be the general warning there for two reasons. There needs to be a warning to prevent it. Why? Why did the church at Thessalonica need to be warned if they weren't engaging in it? Number one, these are early converts. They had been taken out of that culture. It would be so easy to go back into that culture. They were surrounded with a world that was this kind of sin was predominant, so prevalent. The low standards of sexuality in the Greek and the Roman world. The church needed to be warned. Live a sanctified life. Avoid fornication. Well, let's fast forward from when this epistle is written to the church of Thessalonica. Let's fast forward to today, 2012. Look at the world that we are living in. It is the Greek-Roman world, only magnified. Because through the internet, through pages written, through television, things are said and done that no other world was able to portray the way our world does. So first of all, because of the prevalence of the sin in the world around us, and second of all, the saints in Thessalonica and in the other churches needed to be warned, and you and I needed to be warned, because we have in us that old man of sin. A sinful body, a sinful soul that lusts, that fights against the Spirit. And as those who have been called to be God's people, we are called to sanctification. That is, we have been called out of darkness in order to make known that glorious light that God has called us into. Fornication. That term fornication in our text quite often is a term that is used to describe the sexual activity between those who are not married. Young men who try to make conquests, or young girls who try to see how many boys they can get in bed with them. Horrible, sinful things. Fornication usually is used in that sense of sex, not in the married state, but by those who are single. But not always is fornication used in that limited sense, and it is not here. It's used here in the broader sense, any sexual immorality, any sexual uncleanness. What is forbidden here? God has willed our sanctification. That means avoid fornication. Oh, married men, married women, watch out. Watch out lest bored by your present marriage, disappointed by your present marriage, you entertain thoughts or actions outside of your marriage. For God has brought men and women in Christian marriage together to live only for themselves, to the glory of God. Young people, it seems like out there everybody is doing it. If not living together, well, a romp or two in the car or some other place. After all, we plan on getting married someday. And yes, you might love that other person dearly. But God says, no. No, the expression of love is only in marriage. When you, as a young man, or you as a young woman, have stood before God and His people, and you've taken your vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in health or in sickness, before the face of God, no others. Fornication is those sexual acts. But it is not merely the sexual acts. Fornication is the touching of someone else's body that doesn't belong to you, that's not your spouse. We all know, only too well, I guess, a late president who said, I did not have sex with that woman. And what he meant was intercourse, but we all know that he had inappropriate touching. Men and women have to keep their hands at home. But not only inappropriate touching, but let me emphasize also touching that seemingly is not wrong in our eyes. We don't mean any wrong with it. The putting the arm around another person, the teacher perhaps touching a young student to comfort them or to warn them or to be close to them. Even though you as a person might not mean it wrong, be careful, keep your hands off in this age because you don't know how the other person is interpreting it when you grab them or when you hold their arm or whatever things you might do. Forbidden. Oh, husbands, as you show that affection, that care to someone else that's not your wife, or wives, that you show that affection, that caring with someone that's not your husband. Forbidden, young people, is the touching of one another that arouses sexual desires before you're married. Be careful. You cannot play with a fire without expecting to get burnt. Forbidden is the flirting. Married men who let another woman know how beautiful she is, how her curves stick out on her dress, how she flatters them. There's no place for us to be commenting about others' bodies. Nor should there be any place for us to flaunt our bodies that others take notice of it. That is, those who are not our husband or our wife. Be careful how you dress. Forbidden is the looking at another person with a lustful eye, whether it be male or female. I have heard Christian men say, no, I mayn't touch, but I can still look. Oh, may you? Says who? Surely not your Savior. Jesus says in Matthew 5, but I say unto you, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery already in his heart. Or again, Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, And the list goes on, which defile a man. We're called to a holy life. Unlike the world around us, we are called to a holy life set up by God's standards and highlighted over and over in many of the letters of Apostle Paul to the churches is this area of sexuality. Why? Because it's a vulnerable point. Why is it when Adam and Eve listened to the devil and ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree, what did they notice immediately? And they noticed they were naked. Before they had pure thoughts, and suddenly their thoughts are defiled thoughts. For those who would advocate for nudist beaches today, they say, well, God made us that way. Yes, God made us that way when we were good. But when we were sinful, God covered us up. And none of us have arrived to that perfection of heaven. He who even looks at a woman to lust after hath committed adultery in his heart. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Avoid fornication. The devil knows that that's the weak link. And how he strives to tear us apart from God there. To drag us back into the mud. The admonition is given. Notice, first of all, in verse 3, it is given negatively. Abstain from fornication. That word abstain is a very strong word. It means have nothing to do with this vile thing. Have nothing to do with it. And that preposition from, abstain from, emphasizes that kind of separation, that antithesis. There is a sharp line drawn between the child of God and the unbeliever, and that comes through in doctrine and in life. Abstain, have nothing to do with that. Our sexual relationships have to be viewed in the light that our bodies belong to God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then what concord can Christ have with Belial? Abstain from fornication. Have nothing to do with it. Run away from it. Flee from it. Now perhaps that sounds to you like being a coward. What soldier is going to run away, flee from the enemy? No child of God, when you know your own sinful flesh, this is a time when you take heed and you run. Like Joseph. He didn't stand there and try to reason with Potiphar's wife. No, I really shouldn't do that. I shouldn't be too close to you because he hightailed it out of there. Flee. Have nothing to do with fornication. That's the negative admonition. And then in verse 4, the teaching of the word of truth is positive. Let every one of you know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What is that vessel? There are two different thoughts with it from commentators, old and new. That vessel has been understood by some commentators as one's wife. So they would interpret possess, that is, react, adjust to your wife in sanctification and honor. For we read elsewhere in scriptures that the wife is the weaker vessel. That's one possible meaning of vessel here. I don't think it's the best one. Other commentators point us to, it's the body. God is calling to men and to women here and saying, possess your body in sanctification and in honor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the body is called a vessel of holy treasures. Our treasures are in earthen vessels, bodies. What does that mean then? Possess, keep your bodies in sanctification and honor. Keep them pure. There is a right use of the body, there is the right use of sex, and there is the wrong use of the body. Use your bodies, use your sexuality in a way that will please God, will bring honor to God. So negatively, abstain from fornication. Positively, possess, take place, take charge of your body in sanctification and holiness. You're no longer dominated by sin. You can't say, I couldn't help it. Don't say that. God has called you out of that. And then further, verse 5. Possess the body in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. What the apostle is saying there is that the Spirit controls our bodies. The Spirit empowers us to behave as God's children. We're not helpless. God has given His Spirit to us. No longer are we caught up in the lustful passions of the world. When we read here of the lust of concupiscence, that word lust has here the idea of passions in a bad sense, an overmastering desire. And concupiscence is the idea of evil desires that are very strong in us. And he says, don't give in to those evil desires as the Gentiles do. Now the Apostle Paul is here not trying to talk to Gentiles as such, that is, most of the church in Thessalonica was Gentile believers. But when he uses the word Gentiles here, he's saying the nations out there, those who don't know the Lord, the world. You can expect this kind of behavior of the world because they are ignorant of God. They are ignorant of His Word. And as we read in Romans 1, God gives them over to their desires. So we're not shocked today when people in high power are having their affairs. We're not shocked when the president is doing more today than any other man possible for homosexual relationships. We're not shocked when we hear of this person that we're working with or that person with moving in with a boyfriend and a girlfriend for a while as a trial period. We're not shocked. That can be expected of a world that is ignorant of God and God gives over to their evil desires. But that's not true of us. We have heard the word of truth. We have been raised in Christian homes. We know right from wrong. We are given the Holy Spirit. And so our behavior is radically different. Yes, as Peter puts it, we're a peculiar people. Some of the nurses and the doctors out there can't understand it if a young lady hasn't had sex before marriage. Just can't understand it. But that's because we belong to God. It's because His Spirit fills us and empowers us so that we say no to the sinful desires of our flesh and the demands of the world. We say no to the Midianites and the Moabites that come and say, have pleasure with us. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Avoid fornication. And there are at least three reasons given in verses 3 through 8 for us to heed this warning. The first reason comes in verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. The idea there is that sexual license is a matter of defrauding another of his rights. There are those who think that the Apostle Paul is suddenly bringing in business here in verse 7 when he says, in verse 6, when he says, in any matter. No, he's talking about one matter. You'll notice in your King James Bible that the word any is in italics. It doesn't belong there. He's talking about, in this matter, make sure you do not defraud your brother in this matter. When a man or a woman seeks pleasure or the attention of someone else outside of the marriage, they are defrauding their marriage partner. They are giving attention, love, caresses, compliments to the wrong people. Husbands, build up your wives. Wives, love your husbands and build them up. Let your words be spoken together, not to others in the office or anywhere else. When young people engage in sex outside of marriage, they are defrauding themselves and they are defrauding their partner, stealing virginity that should be there at the time point of marriage. You're stealing innocence. And even if the brother doesn't know about it, even if the other man's wife doesn't know that you are attracted to her husband, even if that man doesn't know that you are playing with his wife with words or touches or physical acts, God knows. That's the idea of verse 6. God knows. And God will bring vengeance. He is the avenger of all such wrong. There are terrible consequences. There are terrible consequences, young people, if you go ahead, following your youthful passions, and engage in sex before marriage. There are consequences. You're going to feel them later on. Oh, God forgives us in the cross of Jesus Christ, but there are consequences. Married person, you speak kind words, you flatter someone else's body with your words or your touches or your actions. Yes, there is forgiveness in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for it, but there are consequences in our families. The Lord is the avenger of all such that are defrauded. And unless these sins are repented of, there is no place for that person in the kingdom of heaven. As I said this morning, there are many in many churches today who believe that they can close their eyes and sleep in the lap of Delilah and open up their eyes and find themselves in heaven. But it ain't going to be so. The Lord Jesus says, there is no place in the kingdom of heaven for adulterers, for fornicators, for those who willingly engage in those activities. Let us run. Whether it be with our looks, whether it be our kind words, whether it be our touches somehow, lest we have offended, let us flee to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. God is the avenger of such sins. Second warning. We read in verse 3. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Your purity. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are given the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, to be a holy people. This is the will of God. And this God who has willed it, we read now in verse 7, He's called us. He's called us out of darkness, not to continue with the deeds of darkness. He has called us unto holiness. That means that we reject uncleanness. He's called us with a very definite purpose that we might be a holy people. And that by our lives in our sexuality, we might bring praise to Him. May God be able to say as He looks down at you and me in our lives, whether it be single or married, do you see my righteous servant, Job? Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, dwelt with the Holy Spirit, we have been called to a holy life. That means we're continuously called to that holy life. That's what the Scriptures are for, isn't it? That's why these warnings now to the Church of Thessalonica. Flee fornication. Live a holy life. Oh, saints, Satan is at war with the church. He's going to aim his arrows where they will penetrate and they will hurt the most. He wants to undermine God's people and their witness in this world. He wants to undermine, therefore, the covenant home. Oh, if he can break a husband and a wife apart so that the children dangle between the two of them. Oh, if he can aim and break up a marriage and a home, there is not that beautiful covenant fellowship there anymore that reflects what we have in our God, whether between a husband and a wife or two parents with their children. The devil is messing with you, with me. It is the devil who brought the Midianites and the Moabites up against Israel and said, come play with us. We can all be one. And that's what our sinful culture is saying to us today too. Be a holy people. This is God's will. He's called you. He is calling you to this. Purity. A third reason is given in our text, verse 8. Avoid fornication because impurity is a sin against the Holy Spirit. We find that in the end of that verse. God who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul is not thinking now in the past when God poured out His Holy Spirit on the church at Pentecost. Yes, He did that. But God gives us His Spirit daily. We prayed for it this morning, again this evening with the preaching today. May Your Spirit dwell with us. So God giving us the Holy Spirit, you and I who go against God's Word, you and I who walk impurely in our thoughts, in our words, in our touches, or in our actual acts, are not merely breaking a human code, for human codes change, don't they? but we're sinning against God. We're sinning against God who is present in His Spirit. We're saying to God, I don't have to listen to you. I don't want you to observe what I'm doing now. Don't tell me how to behave myself on this date or in my business or in my relationships with others. Notice he says here, in verse 8, He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given unto us His, and he could have said here, Spirit. We would have known who it is. But he says, His Holy Spirit. We're sinning not merely against the mighty Spirit, but we're sinning against the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that is given to make us holy. And we're saying to that Holy Spirit, you keep your holiness, and I want to play in the mud here for a while. I want to play with this dirt. What an outrage against our God and against His Holy Spirit. It is a rejection of God. Instead of saying no to sin, we're saying no, God. No, I want to act like the Philistines, and I want to join the Moabites and the Midianites, and I want to lay my head in the lap of Delilah. It's a rejection of God. Those who treat sexual morality as something indifferent are treating God as of no account. They're saying, I don't have to listen. I can do my own thing. O Church of Jesus Christ, it is the will of God. God, through His Word, is calling us to holiness, sanctification. Let us hear what the Spirit writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore, come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The news is going to continue to bring scandals. Around us, we're going to see all kinds of different relationships. But you've been called out by your God. The blood of the Lord Jesus flowed to forgive you your sins. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to fill you and empower you. Saying no to those sins. Saying no to your sinful flesh. Saying yes to God and His holiness. Be a holy people. Amen. O Lord, forgive us when we do not act as those who have been called out, separated from the rest of humanity to be the peculiar people of God. Lord, we know our need for the admonition in Thy Word. It was good not only for the saints in Thessalonica, but it's good for the saints here in Byron Center. Because we know the sinful culture around us and we know our own sinful flesh that would love to engage. Help us to fight the good fight. Help us to live antithetically. Help us to live pure lives, sexually moral lives, for Thy glory and for a beautiful witness. Amen. Number 271. Stanza 1 ends, and the song is entitled Godly Resolves from Psalm 101. The first stanza ends, "And cleanse from evildoers the city of the Lord." Let's sing the three stanzas of 271. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.